Today's daf is Yuma Daf Lamed Ches. We are at the top line of Daf Lamed Ches Amud Aleph, the two dots. Niknar Nasu Nisim L'dal Soysov. Today's daf is being learned as a Chus Refuah Shalema. For Shlomo ben Sarah Aliza, Avadi ben Miriam Leah, Moshe Abba ben Devorah, Devorah bas Mecha, Shmuel ben Tehila, Mordechai Tzvi ben Fradel, Rafal Yaakov ben Rachel Chava, David ben Shoshana, Rafal Yitzchak Isaac ben Rechama, Miriam Basara Dina, and Menachem Mendel ben Yehuda Schaya. Today's daf is being learned as a schus, V'yecheskel Shraga ben Miro, and today's daf is being learned Le'ilui Nishmas, Avram ben Yibodo L'chaim Toivin, Reb Moshe Chaim. So the Mishnah and Daf Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph continued discussing the Avoida on Yom Kippur. It mentioned the Kalpi, the basket, and the two gairolois that were in the basket that were used to determine which one of the goats was going to be Lashem and which one was going to be Lazazel. And then the Mishnah immediately made a digression. The Mishnah said that once upon a time, it used to be that these gairolois were made of eshkaroya. That's a certain type of wood. But there was someone named Ben Gamla. He made a very generous contribution to the Beis HaMikdash, and he upgraded them to gold. And the Chachamim were very pleased with what he did, and he would often be mentioned in the context of praise. The Mishnah then went and said, other upgrades that were made to the Beis HaMikdash were again Vahayu Maskir Noisel L'Shvach. The Mishnah mentioned Ben Katin, who had made renovations to the Kiyar, Munbaz HaMelech. He took the handles of all of the Kalim, or like the Gemara said, some of the Kalim that were used on Yom Kippur, he made them gold. Hilni HaMalka, she made contributions as well. The last thing that was mentioned in the Mishnah was Niknar, that was the name of a person, Nasu Nisam L'Dal Soysov. He brought doors to the Beis HaMikdash. Miracles happened with his doors. Zakti Gemara, a brisa that elaborates on that point. Tanu Rabbanan, man nisim nasu l'dal soysov. What were these miracles that happened to the doors of Niknar? Amru, it is said, kshalach Niknar levi dal soysov, Alexandria shal Mitzrayim. Niknar went to Alexandria of Egypt to bring doors that were going to be used for the Beis HaMikdash. Bechazi Rasay, on his way back, he has these doors with him. Amad olav nachshol shebiyam l'tavay. Which Rashi says simply means there was a storm. And because there was a storm, his life and all the people on this boat's life was at risk. And they made a determination that they have to lighten the boat a little bit. Kederach has storms of once upon a time. So they told Niknar that these doors you have are very heavy. If you don't throw at least one of the doors into the sea, we're all going to die. So you have to take one and throw it in. Not only Achas Mehen, he took one, he threw it in with the Yilu Leyam. Vadayin Len Achayom Izafa. But the storm was continuing to rage, meaning they were still at risk. Bikshu Lahatalas Chaverta. So they told him, you're going to have to take the other one. Amad Huvikarchas, he took it, he grabbed onto it. Amalem, he said, you want this door to go into the sea? That's fine, but you're taking me with it. Miyad, as he said that, Nach Hayom Mizapoy, the Yam settled down, and there was no more storm. Vayimitztar al Chavert, but Niknar still felt bad, even though the timing was impeccable, and he seemed to have some sort of miracle happen, but at the same time, he was still down a door, and it bothered him very much. Given Shigil and Amalem, when he came to the port, of Akko, he miraculously saw that door had stuck to the bottom of the ship, and it literally came to Akko together with the ship, and he had both of them. Some say that some sea creature actually swallowed it, as in the story of Yoina, and spit it out onto the dry land. And it was regarding this that Shlomo HaMelech said, Beruach HaKodesh, of course, because Shlomo HaMelech is by his Rishon, this will happen by Yesheni, Koyrois, Batenu Arazim, Rahitenu Beroisim, Altikru Beroisim, Ela Berias Yam. The Koyrois of the Bayis, the cedar came through the Brias Yam. That's the rest of the story. The Fichach says the Braisa. As a postscript to this miracle that happened with Niknar, Kolash Arm Shaib Mikdash Nishtan Uliya shows up. All the Sharam, all the gates, all the doors, everything that they had during the Beis HaMikdash, when the Yidden were able to afford to upgrade it, they upgraded it. They took the wood and they converted it into gold. Chutz Mishari Niknar, with the exception of the gates of Niknar, which were called the gates of Niknar Al Shem, this Yid, whose name was Niknar, that was never upgraded. It was made of copper. It was never upgraded. And the reason is, it was because of this miracle that happened, and they felt they didn't want to touch it. Some say, the reason they didn't upgrade it had nothing to do with the miracle, but simply because the Nechoshes, glowed, and it was just very nice. And it's for that reason they didn't feel they want to upgrade it. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov said, Nechoshes klunisa hoisa was a very unique type of copper. Vaisim irikish al zav. It glowed like zav, similar to the previous pshat, but it's not because of the miracles that happened that they chose not to upgrade it, but it was simply because of the sug. It was the type of nechoshes that it was. It's for that reason they didn't upgrade it. Regardless, the Gemara told the rest of the story as it relates to Niknar. Shar Niknar, incidentally, was the eastern gate of the Beis HaMikdash. It was the main gate. So if somebody was going up to the Harabayas, he was going to enter the Beis HaMikdash, so he was going to go through Shar Niknar. There were many Shar, Machloikis, 7, 13, 5, right? There's different Shitois in Shas, Mesachtes Midois, Mesachtes Shkolim, Mesachtes Yuma, how many Sharim there were. But the main gate, that was the one that almost all Yidden entered when they would come to the Beis HaMikdash, was Shar Niknar, and it was Al Shem Niknar, who had gone to Alexandria to get the doors, the Sha'arim. You see how Moisa Nefesh she was. There were miracles that happened, and he's one of the Yidden that Maskira Noisim Lishvach. Till today, 2,000 years later, we talk about Niknar, and we mention him in glowing terms because of the mysterious nefesh he had for the Beis HaMikdash and because of these miracles that took place. So the Mishnah on Daf Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph discussed different people that were involved in the Beis HaMikdash, v'hayu maskir noisa l'shvach. But there's a flip side to this coin, and that is there were different families and different individuals who had the potential to help the Yidden in the Beis HaMikdash, but they chose not to. And because of that, they're not remembered l'shvach, but regretfully, 2,000 plus years later, we remember them in a very negative sense. Zok the Mishnah of Elush Lignai. The following were people that were remembered Lignai. Number one, Shal Beis Garmut, the members of the family of Garmut. They knew how to make the lechem upon him in a perfect way, and they didn't want to share the secret, and therefore we remember them Lignai. Shal Beis Avtinos, the family of Avtinos, the Rotzel Lamed Amayis Akhtaris. They didn't want to teach the Amayis Akhtaris. Hugras Ben Levi, Hoyoidea Perik Bashir. Hugras Ben Levi wasn't literally the son of Levi, but he was a Levi, and he knew how to sing beautifully, and he didn't want to teach the Chachamim his talent that he had in the musical sense. Ben Kamtzer, he knew how to do something spectacular when it came to writing, and he didn't want to share with the Chachamim. So what all these things are, the Gemara is going to discuss. But Allah Rishonim Nema says the Mishnah regarding the first group, meaning all those mentioned in the previous Mishnah, Ben Katin, Munbaz HaMelech, Hilni HaMalka, Ben Gamlo, Zecher Tzadik Levracha. We remember the Tzadik, and we give the Tzadik a bracha. Leilu Nema, regarding this last group, the Shem Risham, Yerkov, everything will be explained in the Gemara. But first, a brisa. So again, the Mishnah mentioned the Elu Lignai. Beis Garmu didn't want to teach the Maisa Lechem upon him. Beis Avtinos didn't want to teach the Maisa Hakter. So who was Beis Garmu? What did they know about the Lechem upon him? Who were Beis Avtinos? What did they know about the Keter? So the Gemara, again, a brisa that elaborates on what the Mishnah mentioned very cryptically. Tanu Rabbanon, Beis Garmu, how he became a Maisa Lechem upon him. The Beis Garmu, this family, they were became a Maisa Lechem upon him. And they didn't want to teach the Chachamim how to do what they knew how to do. Shochel Chachamim. So the Chachamim said, you know what, Beis Garmu, you don't want to teach it. That's fine. We'll figure out a plan B. They view Umnami Alexander Shalman Tram. They found artisans, professional bakers. They came from Alexandria of Egypt. And they knew how to bake like Beis Garmu. However, but what they didn't know how to do was, they didn't know how to remove the bread the same way the Beis Garmu removed the bread. So it's not 100% clear what exactly this was, but for our purposes, the Beis Garmu knew how to bake the lechem upon him in the right shape. They knew how to remove the lechem upon him from the oven while maintaining the right shape. They also knew how to bake it in a way where it would remain fresh from Shabbos to Shabbos. So one of the miracles that happened in the Beis HaMikdash was that the lechem upon him remained fresh from Shabbos to Shabbos. Ayin le'il yuma daf chaf aleph. But even though that was a miracle that happened, but ain't simchan al anes, and the Chachamim felt that we need to figure out a way, if the lechem upon him is supposed to be fresh from week to week, there has to be a way for us to do it b'derech hateva. So the Beis Garmu, they knew how to operate lechem aponim from soup to nuts perfectly. They knew how to bake it, they knew how to remove it from the oven, which apparently was a kunt, and they also knew how to do it in a way to keep it fresh. Now, they didn't want to share their skills and their talents with the Chachamim. So the Chachamim reach out, they fly these bakers in from Egypt, they knew how to bake like them, that they were able to do, but they didn't know how to remove it from the oven like them. So what was the difference? Shalolo masikim bibachotz, va'oifen bibachotz. Because these people from Alexandria, what they would do is they would heat the oven from outside of the oven, and they would bake the bread from the outside of the oven. So traditionally, you would bake the bread from the inside of the oven. The problem is, it would get too hot, and because it got too hot, they couldn't remove it and keep the shape intact. It would start crumbling. The chiddush of Beis Garmu was they knew how to bake it in a way, v'alolu masikim mibefnim, v'oifem mibefnim. They were able to do inside. So what? Halalu pita misafeshes. Halalu ain't pita misafeshes. Because the base gamer knew how to bake it inside, therefore the bread would remain fresh. But because the umnin from Alexandria did not know how to bake it from the inside, therefore it didn't remain fresh. So it seems like the punchline was that the base gamer knew how to bake the lechem upon him, even though it was inside the oven. That would keep it fresh. The challenge of doing that is it gets too hot, so how do you maintain the shape? So Beis Garmu somehow knew how to do that. The Chevra from Alexandria, they couldn't do that. They knew how to bake it from the outside, which would keep the shape, maintain it, but the problem is, it would end up going bad. So they couldn't put it all together. When the Chumri heard about this, they made the following cheshbon. They said, every talent that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, he did l'chvoydei, shenem kol ha-nikru b'shmiu l'chvoydiv, Beros, meaning everything is to give Kvod Shamayim, which means Yachzu Beis Garmu L'mkam. We need the Beis Garmu. So they don't want to do what we ask them to do, but we have no choice. So we're going to have to get them to work for us, albeit on their terms. So Sholchu Lahem Chachamim. Chachamim sent for them, but they still refused to come. Kaflu Lahem Scharim. So then already they made them an offer they couldn't refuse. Ubo, and they came. In the olden days, they would take 12 mana. Meaning they gave them a ridiculous amount of money. Yehuda says, they used to get 24. Now they got 48. So the Chachamim told the Beis Garmu, I don't understand. Why won't you teach us what to do? Like, what's this all about? Pashit, they maybe wanted to make money for koifing their skills, but like the Chacham told them, why would you do this? So they told them a from a cheshbon. They said, because we know, we were told, we have a Messiah that one day this Beis HaMikdash is going to be destroyed. This is Matim with the Bayis Sheni Rei, that there was a Messiah that Bayis Sheni wasn't going to be around forever. We're afraid that maybe somebody improper is going to learn this skill, and he's going to use our talents to serve Avodah Zarah, says the Gemara. It's regarding this, not what we just mentioned, but what we're about to mention, that Chazal will masker the Beis Garmu l'shvach, and that is, you never found anyone from the family of Garmu who was walking around with bread that was made from refined flour. Why? Because they don't want people to be chayshu them and say, oh, why does this kid from a Garmu family have such nice bread? Probably he took it from the Lechem Aponim. Because they were sensitive to the Pasuk, V'yisim Nekiyim Me'Hashem Yisrael. A person has to act in a way where he's going to be naki, not only in the eyes of Hashem, but also in the eyes of Yisrael. The bottom line is, Beis Garmu knew how to make the Lechem Aponim in the proper way. They refused to teach the Chachamim this skill. The Chachamim asked them, why won't you teach us? They had a hope from a cheshbon. They said, because we know the Beis HaMikdash is going to be destroyed. We don't want this secret recipe to get out, because ultimately it's going to end up potentially being Mahana and Avodah Zarah, and it's for that cheshbon they chose not to do it. Sounds like the Chachamim were not happy. They're mentioned in the Mishnah of the Elu Lignai, V'Shem Risho Amirka, stating that there was one thing, Shoyu Maskir Noisun L'Shvach, and that is, Garmu was sensitive that people shouldn't think that they're stealing from the Lechem upon him. This is when they came back, and they started working for the Beis HaMikdash, albeit for some exorbitant fee. So at that point, they were sensitive, and Loinimtsis Pas Nekir Biyad B'Neim. So the Gemara now is going to shift from the Beis Garmu, who were proficient in Lechem Aponim, to Beis Avtinas, who were proficient in Ketores, and the Gemara is going to tell a very similar narrative. It mirrors it almost to the T. So Beis Avtinas didn't want to teach the Maisa Ketores. Again, a price that explains Beis Avtinas, so you can keep Maisa Ketores. Beis Avtinas, they were very proficient in Maisa Ketores. Chacham sent to them. So they had no choice. They tried to get the Beis Avtinas to help out in the Beis HaMikdash with the Ketores. They refused to. So they brought in these artisans from Egypt and let them help them. Now, these people from Alexandria, they knew how to do the pitum akteris. They knew how to mish all the ingredients together and grind it. But they didn't know how to make the ashan, the smoke of the keteris, rise the way Beis Aftinas did. Shel halalu mitamev oila. Because the way the smoke rose when Beis Aftinas was mefatim the keteris wasn't went up straight, kimaka like a stick. Shel halalu, when these people from Alexandria did it, matzia lekan ulekan. It would go this way and that way. Now Rashi says that what the Beis Aftinas knew that these umnim from Alexandria did not know is the identity of a certain ingredient of the keteris that's known as the Mala Ashan. In Pita Makteris, we mentioned Mala Ashan Kolshu. Mala Ashan is a grass. It's some sort of species. It's some sort of min. They knew what it was, whereas the people from Alexandria did not know what it was. Now, the purpose of the Mala Ashan is to get it to rise. So they knew how to do it. The Chevra from Alexandria didn't know how to do it. And this is what the Chachamim wanted. Now, when the Chachamim realized that the people from Alexandria are not going to be able to do what the people of Aftinas did, so they made the Cheshman that they made in the previous Gemara. They said, and here, interestingly, the Gemara brings a different pasuk. Everything Hashem created is for Him. So, meaning, we have to use these skills for Kvod Shemaya. Now, they don't want to work for us on our terms, so we have no choice. Yachzru Beis Aftinas some kaim, and we're going to have to give them what they want. It's like this, they can come back and do the job. Shochlem, chacham of leibo, kaflem, scharim. So they doubled the price. Uvo, b'chol yoyim, what was the price? It used to be, hoyu noitlem, shleim, as a month. It used to take 12 months. And now they took 24. It's a shiloh, it means every day, every year. But whatever it was, they doubled the fee. Rabbi Huda, b'chol yoyim, master rabba. It used to be that they took 24. And now they took 48. Amr lem chachamim. So the chachamim told Beis Aftinas, maro isim shalei lalamid. Why do you want to teach us how to do the keteris? Amru, they said, Yoidim Hoyashabelis, Abashabayas, also Lichab. They said the same thing, basically, Amru, that we know there's going to be a korban. And Shemi Yilmud Al Mashayim, Ahugan, we're afraid that maybe the wrong person is going to get their hands on this. V'yelech, V'yavoid, Avoidas, Koychavim, Biltach. And they're going to use it to worship Avoidazar, Valdover, Zem, Askir, and Oysel Shrak. So for this, the Chaman weren't happy. But for the following thing that we're about to mention, Chazal were happy, and that is, Me'odim Layotza Kala Mevusemes Mibotayim. That when there was a Kala that came from the family of Aftinas, she never wore psalmim. Ordinarily, a kala wears psalmim, but she didn't wear psalmim. Not just that. If they would marry someone from a different place, it was in the tanayim. They would literally make a tanay. No perfume. So people shouldn't say, because everyone knew they were involved in the psalmim. Nobody should say that that's where it came from. So these families, Beis Garmu, Beis Aftinas, on the one hand, very from, on the one hand, the Yisim Nikiyim Hashem and Yisrael, and Chazal were Maskiram Leshvach, but at the same time, they go down in the Mishnah of the Shem Rishon Yerkov, stating that there's a postscript. Tanya, we learned in a rise. Om Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Shmuel said, Pamach so Yisim Halach Baderech. I was once walking, Umatzasi Echa Mibnei Bneim, and I met a family member of Beis Aftinos. Amarti Loi, I told him, Avisecha Bikshu Laharbis Kvoidam. Your Zaydas, they wanted to increase their kavod. They wanted money. They didn't want to teach their skill. And they were willing to be mamay to kvod amokim. There was an interim period of time where they weren't even working for the Beis HaMikdash. Achshav now, kvod mokim b'mkoymoy u'miyet kvodim. They have no kavod because there's no Beis HaMikdash anymore. But the kavod of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's still there. Now the truth is, this was after the Churban, which is why Beis Aftinas was out of a job, which was what Rabbi Shmuel was trying to say. But still, Rabbi Shmuel commented that kvod mokim, and that is because the covet of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not contingent on the Beis HaMikdash. When there's a Beis HaMikdash, so there's a very intense manifestation of Shechina in the one Makam HaMikdash. But I am B'Marsha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's covet is Malay Chal Ha'aretz, and as a result, Rabbi Shmuel said, the Eibush's covet is doing fine. You had an opportunity to play a role in that, you didn't want to, now you have no covet. And of course, Kfoid Makam is Bimkoime. I'm Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva said, Sochli Rabbi Shmuel ben Luga. I heard the following anecdote from Rabbi Shmuel ben Luga. Pamachas Yisasi Yaniva Echabi Bnei Bneim Lasada. Lelaki Tasavan. I was once walking in the field together with a member of Aftinas' family, and we were going to pick grass for Isi, and then I saw this person, Shesachak Ubach. I saw him laughing, and then I saw him crying. Why were you crying? Amali Kfoid Avoysa Neskarti. The reason I'm crying is I remember the covet my family had. We were once bankers. We were the famous family of Avtinas. We were involved in the Ktiris. We got paid a lot of money. So he started crying when he remembered the good old days. I said, why do you laugh afterwards? Because I know there's going to be a Beis HaMikdash again, and we're going to get this covered again. So he said, what reminded you of all this? Like, why now? We're walking in the field, and all of a sudden he's laughing, he's crying, he's having this whole dramatic episode. So he said, like, what triggered this? He told him, Malo Ashen Kenegi, because I'm looking at the Malo Ashen right now. That was the secret ingredient. That was what they knew that nobody else knew, and I'm looking at it. So he said, Hareoli, so you want to show it to me? I can't. He said, Shfuahi biyodeinu, we were sworn in our family, she'ein ma'ar noisai l'chol adam. This is our own secret society. This is something we keep for ourselves. This is something that I can't share with you. Amar Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri said, Pam achas matzatzi zaken echad, I once met an old man. U'megillah samimana biyodei. And he had a megillah, he had a scroll. And on the scroll, there were a list of a whole bunch of different samimanim, different herbs. Amarti le'ah, I told him, Me'ayinata, who are you? I come from the family of Avtinas. He said, what are you carrying? I have a list of samimanim. Hareoli. He said, show it to me. You should know that I was sworn to keep this to myself. We're not allowed to show this to anybody. However, but you know what? You want it, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri? You could have it. But be careful, because you have to make sure that nobody ever sees it. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri said, when I came back to Beis Medrash, v'sachti dvar l'fnei Rabbi Akiva, and I told the great Rabbi Akiva what happened, Amalis Rabbi Akiva said, me'ata, from this point forward, asur l'saper b'gnuson shalelo. You're not allowed to speak b'gnuson shalelo anymore. And the reason is, because you see from here, that really, they were telling the truth. Meaning, Chazal always thought that this was just some cover story. They didn't want to share their secret, because they just didn't want to. They wanted to make a lot of money. They'll be the only ones that know it. And everything that they said with all their chishmonos, it wasn't a real cheshbon. But then Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri met this yid, and this yid was worried that maybe it was going to get lost. And he thought that he no longer was in a position to be able to be the bearer of the secret. He was willing to give it to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. So somehow he saw some sincerity in this story. And therefore, Rabbi Akiva said, if that's the truth, then We have to be chayzer. Now it's interesting, because this seems to be the conclusion of the Gemara. Yet the Mishnah says, ve'elu lignai, and we mentioned the family of Avtinas. If you learn Mishnayis Yuma like every child does, and you don't learn the Gemara, you never see this line. So this is something that requires a little bit of thought, but at the same time, that's the Gemara. Zok the Gemara is another postscript. Mikanome Benazai. Benazai said, from the story of Beis Garmu and Beis Avtinas. Now, what detail of the story? Rashi says, Shebikshu Chachamim L'tchoysam M'mkoyim Avla Yachol. Chachamim tried getting them out of a job, but they were unsuccessful. Right? They eventually got the price they wanted. They got everything they wanted. So Benazai said, I'll tell you a takeaway from here. B'shimcha Yikra'ucha U'bimkoyimcha Yoshivucha. He says, a person shouldn't be worried that somebody's going to be able to take away his parnasa. Meaning, when your name is called, you're going to end up being able to do whatever you want to do. Umel shulcha yitnu lecha, and if something is yours, you're going to get it. Because ein adam negev b'muchan lechaver. Nobody has a right to touch something that belongs to somebody else. In malchus negas b'chaver da'afilu k'maloy nima. And no two malchios are able to overlap, which is why the Gemara talks in different places. Some malchios had to be cut short because in malchus negas b'chaver. But the point is, beis karmu, beis avtinas, it was destiny to make a parnasa through this. And even though the Chachamim tried figuring out a way to bypass them, they brought these umnanim from Alexandria. At the end of the day, they got to do what they wanted to do. So returning to the Mishnah, we discuss beis karmu, ma'ase lechem apona, beis avtinas, ma'ase akteris. The Mishnah said, hugras ben Levi, hayoydeya perik b'shir v'lei ratzel lelamid, and then ben kamtzar, so what were these next two talents mentioned in the Mishnah? Hugras ben Levi v'chulatanya k'shu noisin koyla b'ni ima. When Hugras ben Levi would sing, so machnes gudloy v'toichpev, he would stick his thumb into his mouth, and he would take his second finger, bein animin, between the hairs of his mustache, and he would make such a noise that his brothers, the kayanim, niskarim bevas roish lacharim, they would jump backwards because they were so startled by this incredible sound that came from Hugras ben Levi. Tanu rabbonim, ben kamtzer, le'rotzel l'lamid al maisa aksav. So what did he know and what didn't he want? want to teach. He would take four pens, he would put them between his fingers, and if there was a teva that was dalet oisiyos, he would write it in one shot. They told him, he said, why do you want to teach us this? Says the Gemara, everyone that in the Mishnah was asked this question, and they all had a story. Whether Chazal bought it or not is a different story. But everybody had a tshuva. But Kamtzer lo matzah tshuva l'dvarav. He couldn't even rationalize. He couldn't even come up with a teretz. Couldn't even make up a story as to why he refused to teach the Chachamim. Al Rishonim Nemar, Zeich Netzadik Levracha, Val Ben Kamtzer v'chaveirav Nemar, v'shem Rishon Yerkov. So there's a shaila in the Rishonim had to learn this line. From the flow of the Gemara, it sounds a little bit ala Rishonim Namar, meaning the three mentioned in the Mishnah of Shem Risham Yirkov, Beis Kamu Beis Haftinas, and Hurgas Ben Levi, even though we said Shem Risham Yirkov, but now we're coming around, because they, at the end of the day, had some sort of tshuva. We had the story of Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri on the bottom of the Yavin. So they flipped from being the Shem Risham Yirkov to Zeichet Tzadik Levracha. Ben Kamtzer, however, was Shem Risham Yirkov. But then again, it says in the Gemara of Al Ben Kamtzer v'chaveirov. So who are the chaveirov of Ben Kamtzer? Probably everyone else mentioned in the Mishnah. So other Rishonim say that, fakir, the Al Rishonim is going back to the previous Mishnah that mentioned Ben Katin and Ben Gamla and Munbaz and Hilni Amalka, and the Ben Kamtzer v'chaveirov is referring to the second group. Regardless, the ones that we were maskil l'shvach, zecher tzadik levracha, and the ones to the contrary that were maskil l'gnai, is Shem Risham Yerkov. Zok the Gemara. May v'shem Risham Yerkov. What does that mean? Amr Rabbi Lazar said, Rakfivus talibish moysam. Their names should become rusty, meaning the way maskina bishmayu. We shouldn't use their names anymore. Just don't mention them. And like this, you don't mention them, they're just going to spoil. They're going to go bad. Kavi yochel. Masiv Rabbina. Rabbina asked the kasha. Is that true? You're not supposed to use the names of Rishon. Maisa b'Doyeg ben Yosef. There was a story with a fellow whose name was Doyeg ben Yosef. Sheinichai Aviv ben Katan le'imai. His father died, and he was a little child, and he was raised by his mother. B'chol yom hoise imai moide dasoi b'tfachim. Every single day, Doyeg's mother would measure him and would take the amount that he grew, v'noisenes mishkoloi shalzov the Beis HaMikdash, and give the weight to the Beis HaMikdash. So the mother of this child would weigh her son every single day, measure her son every single day, and assuming he weighed a pound more, so she would take a pound of gold and make a donation to the Beis HaMikdash. A beautiful story. But when the enemy intensified, meaning at the time of the Churban, she shechted him because there was such a hunger, there was no food. She needed something. So she killed her own child. And she ate him. And it's regarding him that Yirmiyo said, of kinnis fein. So, what's the oilele tipuchim? This is the child who was measured, meaning his tfachim were measured, and on a regular basis, the mother would make these contributions. And Nebuch, this is what happened. So it started off as such a beautiful story. How does it end? Im teichal nanosh imperium. So the Gemara, Ruach HaKodesh, Meshiva Ruach HaKodesh v'ymeris. The end of the pasuk is that Ruach HaKodesh answered and says, it's terrible. And your miyo is right for feeling the way he feels. But im yehari b'miktash Hashem koyim v'navi. But at the same time, Lamaisa Klal Yisrael unfortunately sinned, and it's because of their sins that this happened. Now, this was a massive ravina. We brought this story to ask Akasha. The Kasha is Maisa Bidoyeg Ben Yosef. Doyeg is a biblical name. It was the name of Doyeg HaAdoimi. Doyeg HaAdoimi goes down in infamy. If that's the case, if there's a Yosoid of Hashem Rishoim Yirkov, and the Gemara said, Omer Rabbi Lozer, Rakfivus Talav Ishmael, what it means is don't use these names. That's the definition of the words, Shem Rishoim Yirkov, then Lechura, what's Pshat in this mother and father that named their little baby Doyeg? Why would they name their child such a name? So the Gemara says, I hear, but this story is not a kasha on the point of the Gemara. To the contrary, it supports the Gemara because Chazi Masolik Pe. Take a look at what happened. At the end of the day, did this story end well? No, it ended tragically. And you know why it ended tragically? Because V'shem Risham Yirkov. Because this family violated the idea of V'shem Risham Yirkov. So you're right, you're bringing me a Maisa where somebody used the name of a Rasha. Abba Mimokim Shebaso, Chazi Maisolik Be. And as if that somehow played a role in the mazel of the child, we'll revisit this in the raids. Zok the Gemara Vayit Omer Abulaz, Tzadik Me'atzmoy. the Rosha Mechaveroi. When a tzaddik gets a bracha, we bench just the tzaddik. Rosha, however, gets included with other Rosham, meaning tzaddik me asked with the tzaddik lebracha. One tzaddik. The Rosha Mechaveroi, the chsiv v'shem Rosham Yerkov. Meaning once we mention something bad about a Rosha, we throw in all the Rosham. What's v'shem Rosham Yerkov? Shem Rosha Yerkov. Zeichet tzaddik lebracha. One tzaddik. Shem Rosha Yerkov. Because there's an idea that once we mention something bad about one Rosha, we throw in all the Rosham. Amalei Ravina lahumi rabbanan dam mesader agadat kameh. So there was a rabbi that was being mesader agadat in the presence of Ravina, and Ravina told him the following. He said, "Minoha milsa, the amalei rabbanan zeichet tzaddik lebracha. How did Chazal know this concept of zeichet tzaddik? Amalei told him. How did they know zeichet tzaddik lebracha? It's a pasuk. Daksiv zeichet tzaddik lebracha. Nishlei peregiot." He said, "No, I know that." He said, "Midayraisa minolan." How do you know? What do you see it in the Torah? So he told him, "I have a makar." Hashem amr achas ani me'avram asher ani yoisa. Hashem mentioned Avram, and immediately afterwards, v'ksiv Avram hoye yil legoy gadol va'atzon. So Hashem mentioned Avram, and immediately he gave him a bracha. So you see from here, zeichet tzaddik lebracha. Incidentally, Rabbi Kiva Egron Gilyan Ashas says, "Ayin Rashi chumish roish parshas noyach." What's Rabbi Kiva Egron's kasha? Eilu told us noyach. Noyach is tzaddik. Zok Rashi, Eilu told us Noyach. Noyach is tzaddik. Eilu told us Noyach is shem chomen yofes. Why are we interjecting with Noyach is tzaddik? So it's Rashi in the beginning of Parshas Noyach. Everyone knows this Rashi. Zeichet tzaddik lebracha, because we mention Noyach. So we mention Noyach is tzaddik. Freak up Kiva Egron. Why do you have to go to Avram Avinu to learn of a car zeichet tzaddik lebracha? Learn it from Noyach. Before Avram Avinu, two parshiyos earlier, you have already by Noach. Regardless, we know how Milsa Domer Rabbanon Shem Rosham Yerkov. What's the Makar to Shem Rosham Yerkov? Amaleis again. Ravin is asking it to this one of the Rabbanon. So he told him again, "You don't know where you know Shem Rosham Yerkov." Daksiv, it's the same exact pasuk. Zeichet Tzaddik Levracha V'Shem Rosham Yerkov. It's Mishlei Perek Yud. So he said, "No, but they're Reisim. What's the Makar in the Torah?" So he told him, "Daksiv Ayel Ad Sidoim." It says that Lot went to Stoim. Oh, you mentioned Stoim. The Anshei Stoim Roin V'Chatom LaShem Oy. So you see, Shem Rosham Yerkov. Amar Rabba Losa Tzaddik Dar. There was a tzaddik that lived between two rishon, and he didn't learn from their bad ways. Rosh darben shnei tzaddikim. There was a rosh that lived between two tzaddikim, and he didn't learn from their good ways. Tzaddik darben shnei rishon. There was a tzaddik that lived between two rishon. He didn't learn from their bad ways. Avadia lived with Achav and Izevel and never learned from them. Rosh darben shnei tzaddikim. Esav's parents, Esav's brother Yaakov, and he didn't learn from their good ways. Amar Rabbi Loza, mi bilchasan shel tzadikim atolam and klalo l'rishon. When we mention bracha for tzadikim, we throw in klalo l'rishon. Mi chalasan shel rishon atolam and bracha l'tzadikim. And the reverse. When we mention klalo for rishon, we mention bracha l'tzadikim. Bilchasan shel tzadikim atolam and klalo l'rishon. We mention bracha l'tzadikim. We mention klalo l'rishon. The ksiv ki yidatu v'man hashay yitzave. The ksiv basrei v'ayim Hashem zakas stoyim v'amoyra ki rabo. So we're giving bracha to Avram, and immediately afterwards klalo to stoyim. Umi chalasan shel rishon. This is the reverse. Something bad about Sodom, and then immediately afterwards, Hashem Amar Avram Achri Parad Loi Meimai. Avram Avinu was about to get bracha. Amar Rabbi Loza, I feel the bishvul tzaddik echad oylam nivra. The world was created even for one tzaddik. Shenema v'yar l'kimes ha'or ki toiv ve'ein toiv el tzaddik. Toiv means tzaddik, shenemar imru tzaddik ki toiv. So you find toiv means tzaddik, and the drush of Rabbi Lazar is, vayara lekim esar. HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw ar, meaning he created ar. Why? Ki toiv. Because of tzaddik. Afilu bishvil tzaddik echad, oylem nivra. Will stop abruptly right here. Exhale. So two ha'aras as it relates to today's epic daf. The first order is, the Mishnah mentioned that there were people that had talents. The Chachamim were lobbying them, "Will you please share your talents with us? Kol mashek bara kodesh baruch hu, ba'ilamay lai bara ela l'chvaydai. Share your talents, we can bring kvayt shemayim for it." But they were giving the Chazal a very hard time. They wanted a lot of money, they didn't want to teach it. And they go down in the Mishnah as ve'elu l'gnai, v'shem risham yirka, shalbeis garmu, Shalbeis Avtinos, Hugras Ben Levi, and Ben Kamsa. Ben Kamsa, the Mishnah said, knew how to write with all five of his fingers at the same time. Meaning he could take a pen and stick them between his fingers. So there's four spaces between your five fingers. And he knew how to write four letters at the same time. Chazal wanted to know how to do it, but leirotza lelamid al maisa eksav. And in fact, the Gemara says that at the very least, all the other people mentioned in the Mishnah, they had some sort of alibi. They had a cover story. The only ones that had nothing to answer was Ben Kamsa. Chazal wanted really badly to know how to do this. Ben Kamsa refused to tell them, and Ben Kamsa the Chaverev go down as Veshem Risham Yirkav. And the Tosfos Yontif on this Mishnah asks the obvious question. And that is, why did Chazal care to be able to write four letters at the same time? They knew how to do the lechem upon him, where it was going to be executed officially. We understand that. We understand Beis Haftinos. They knew Mala Oshon, the Kvod Shemayim with the smoke rising like a mako. That's a very big deal. Hugris ben Levi, hoyoidea perek bashir. Ikeshir is bepeh to serenade a Kaddish Baruch when you bring karbonis. But ben kamtzer leirotzel alamin amaisa aksav, who cares? Why did Chazal even want to know? It's very nice, it's a talent. But at the same time, Chazal was so into wanting to figure out how to do this that Chazal was disappointed by the fact. And this ben kamtzer goes down as v'shem risham yirkov. So the Michas Chinuch in mitzvah Tof Lamed Zayin, says a beautiful teretz, but really it's kedai to take one step back and introduce the Minchas Chinuch with a very, very brief introduction. And that is, there's a tshuva in Shailos HaTshuva Smoy de Yehuda. It's in Yerudeya, Madura Kama. It's, do I have the wrong one? The wrong volume. So there's, oh no, Yerudeya Madura Kama, it's Simin Ayinvav. And the tshuva was written by a Talmud of the Noida Yehuda, whose name was Reptia Vile, like the Marie Vile. Reptia Vile, that was his name. He was a Talmud Muvik of the Noida Yehuda, and he wrote a tshuva to the Noida Yehuda. So it seems that in Reptia Vile's Kehila, they were leaning from a Sefer Torah. It was Parshas Tetzaveh. And they came to the pasuk that says, "V'yodu ki ani Hashem Elokeihem, asher etzeis yoisam eretz Mitzrayim l'shochni b'soichem, ani Hashem Elokeihem." And the sofer, instead of writing "ani Hashem Elokeihem," he wrote "ani Hashem Elokeichem." You could see why a sofer would make that mistake. So instead of writing "ani Hashem Elokeihem," he ended up writing "ani Hashem Elokeichem." And it was a problem. It's a possible Sefer Torah. So Rabbi Avai was trying to figure out what the right Eitzah is. Now, you can't simply go ahead and start erasing the Hey Mem and replace it with the right letter. And the reason is because you can't be moichik the shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's aser midai raisa to be moichik the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So to go ahead and erase it, that's not okay. And even though the Chaf Mem or the Hey Mem is only the suffix of the name of HaKadosh Baruch, it's not the real name, it's just the suffix of the name, but that's also a sugi in Shas. It's in Perek Shavuos HaEdos, where the Gemara says that any suffix to the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the Kedusha of the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and as a result, to simply erase the name was not okay. So the question is, what do you do now with this Pasul HaSefer Torah? So he had an Eitzah, and he presented his Eitzah to the Noida B'Yehuda. Toich Dvarov, in his Eitzah, he made the following claim. He wrote that to go ahead and to simply erase the Chaf and replace it with a Hey. So again, what was the mistake? The Yadu Ki Ani Hashem Elokeihem. That's the way it's supposed to be written. He wrote, the Sofer did, the Yadu Ki Ani Hashem Elokeichem. So there was a Chaf instead of a Hey. So Rabbi Avile said in the middle of his tshuva, he said to go ahead and to erase the Chaf and replace it with a Hey, he said that's poshit that you wouldn't be able to do. Ze avalik loif rak ois Chaf, ze lichtoiv Hey, ze nirul anias daiti de enoi mutter, da have efshir shaloi kesijon. Because the reason is, because it's going to come out now that when you replace the Chaf with the Hey, you will write the shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but you're going to end up writing it shaloi kesedah. You're not going to write it Aleph, Lamed, Hey, Yod, Hey, end of mem. You're going to write Aleph, Lamed, Hey, Yud. The end of mem's already there. There's a Chaf there by mistake. You're removing the Chaf and you're replacing it with a Hey. So said Rabbi Avayel, you have no right to write the shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shaloi Kiseida. And because of that, that's not an Eitzah. So when he went through what you could do And what you can't do, one of the things he said in his tshuva to the Noi de Biyahuda, there's no way you could simply erase that letter and replace it, because it's going to come out that you already have the endomem, and now you're just putting the hay in. So you're writing a Shalaika Seder. You can't write the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shalaika Seder. But Maisa Noi de Biyahuda responded to Rabbi Tiaval. There were certain things he said that he was masking to. There were certain things he said that he wasn't masking to. What's interesting is the Noi de Biyahuda never commented on that line. This line that Rabbi Tiaval wrote, that you have to write the shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in order. So you couldn't write Aleph, Lamed, Hey, Yud, Endemem, and then put in the Hey. So to simply remove the Chaf and replace it with a Hey, that would be a problem. That's something that you absolutely cannot do. Now, Yehuda never commented on that. Now, the reason he didn't comment on it, because it wasn't really necessary. The way that Yehuda approached the Shaila, that point was just not Nogeya. And therefore, he never commented on it, stating that the Achronim all felt that from the fact that Rabbi Tiaval said such a big chiddush to his Rebbe, and his Rebbe just let it slide, shtika kaida. And the Noi de Biyahuda must have been masking to this chiddush. That when you write the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have to write the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Keseder. You can't write it Shaloi Keseder. That's what the Velt understood. And there's a tshuva from the Ksav Sofer. And G'dayli G'dayli Oilam all took away from this Noi de Biyahuda that there was a shtika kaida. He never said it. And you'll see quoted in Svarim, if you look, that the Noi de Biyahuda said a chiddush that when you write the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have to write it Keseder. The Noi de Biyahuda never said it. It's not true. It's not emes. He never said it. Rabbi Tiaval, who was a Talmud of the Noi de Biyahuda, said it. He wrote it in a tshuva tonight. If you open up a Noi de Biyahuda, sometimes you don't know who the Shoyl is, who the Meshiv is. But you have to take the extra few seconds to just see what's going on here. 90% of Madura Kami Yeridei Simen Ayavav is Rabbi Tiaval talking. There's a little response, a very short tshuva of the Noi de Biyahuda, but this is Be'ikara tshuva that belongs in Rabbi Tiaval's tshuvas, because it's really Rabbi Tiaval. He was the one that said this aura. The Noi de Biyahuda didn't say anything. He didn't flag this chiddush. And because of that, the Achronim understood there's a shtika kaida from the Noi de Biyahuda that he must have been masking to this. Stating that, Rabbi Kiva Eger in Hilchas Sefer Torah, this is in Simon Reishai involved, discusses the Shaila. He discusses whether or not the Shemos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to be written Keseder. So he says that he saw in the Tshuvas Ginas Viradim and another Sefer Tshuvas Shemesh Stoker that they both hold that when you write the Shemos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it has to be written Keseder. Listen to this. V'chem evur b'pshitos das harav tiyavayol b'shei losei lagoy noy de b'yehud madur kamen yeridei simen ayivav. It's clear that Rav Tiyavayol held the same way. For Ulam, however, the El Yerabah says Rav Tiyavayol held not that way. V'gam nira das hanoy de b'yehudah, and I hold that noy de b'yehudah also didn't hold that way, because after loy heshiv la Rav Tiyavayol al pradzeh, because even though Rav Tiyavayol, noy de b'yehudah never responded to this, loy mishum de moida loy b'zeh, it's not because he was moida. El de l'yayot zarech l'zeh sham l'dina l'heshiv. I'll say, it wasn't a geyah. Aval hulin afshei nira de loy sfiru l'zeh ki Rav Tiyavayol. But I happen to know, said Rav Tiyavayol, that noy de b'yehudah didn't hold that way. Kimavur b'madur tinyon I know from another tshuva, Yeridei Madura Tinyana, Simen Kufay and Aleph, and over there it's mashma that he held not like Rav Tiaval. There's no time, it's beyond the scope of what we're doing now to go through that tshuva. It's very gishmak. But the bottom line is, so everyone quotes the Noi de Biyahuda as saying that when you write the Shemus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have to write a Keseder. Noi de Biyahuda never said it. Rav Tiaval, in his letter that he wrote to the Noi de Biyahuda, suggested it, and the Noi de Biyahuda didn't comment. So the Achronim understood Shtika Kaida. But Rav Kiva Eger, Rabban Shel Kol Bnei Hagoyla, in his Hagoyis in Shulchan Aruch, when he discussed this Shaila, and he put together a list of people that held that you have to do it Keseder, and a list of ones that held it didn't have to be Keseder, he said, the Noi de Biyahuda held it does not have to be Keseder. Now he bavarned what everybody made a mistake, which is, he must have seen, like we see, that the Noi de Biyahuda was quoted as being one that holds that it has to be Keseder, but he says, no, the people are saying it because he didn't respond to Rabbi Tiaval said, you know why he didn't respond? Because it wasn't necessary. But the bottom line is, Zakrab Kiveh, it's a big shayla. So what's the halacha? Do you have to write the shem or Yisav HaKadosh Baruch Hu Keseder or not? So he says, l'chura, there are many makilim uberoishnam, the Noi de Biyahuda holds that it doesn't have to be Keseder, not like everybody else understood the Noi de Biyahuda. He has an El Yerabah, he brought a rite from among an Avram, Ayin Shom, if you want to see it, it's Ois Yud and Simen Reish Ayin Vav, it's very gishmak. He says, but I think that even if you want to be Mekel, which is okay, but when it comes to the Shem Havaya, you should be Machmer. And that's based on a Zohar HaKadosh. So this is Rabbi Kiva Eger quoting a Zohar. The Zohar is in Parshas Vayikra. It's Daf Yud Aleph Amid Beis, where the Zohar goes through the Shem Havaya and explains why it's in the order that it is. and why it's written in the order that it is. First, the Sofer writes the Yud, Valdo Boy Lemichtav Shmo Kadisha Yud Bikat Misa, and then afterwards you write the Hey, and then the Vav, and there's a whole Cheshbon. So says Rabbi Kivega from the Zoyar in Parashas Vayikra, it's Mashma that it's supposed to be Keseder. Bottom line is, whether or not the Shemus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to be written Keseder, that's already a Shaila. But Zok Rabbi Kivega, even though Yesham Yilismaych Lahakel, but that's only regarding the shame of Elikehem or some other shame. But if it's the shame Havaya, then for sure, it should not be written Shaloi Keseder. And the reason is based on a Zohar HaKadosh in Parashas Vayikra. Zok de Minchas Chinuch. Zok de Minchas Chinuch. Revisiting the Kasha. Again, this one to ask the Kasha. There was a Yid, his name was Ben Kamsa. He knew how to write with four pens at the same time. Chazal wanted so badly to know how to do it, and he didn't want to teach them. And he goes down as V'shem Risham Yirka. And Frank to tell you, says, Yantiv, he doesn't understand why Chazal had to know. Who cares? Like, what's the big deal? Zok Demechas Chinuch, Fi Hamavur B'tshuvas Noida B'Yehuda. Doesn't quote Rabbi Yevayel. Demechas Chinuch quotes the Noida B'Yehuda like all the Achrayim do. The Shtika Koydav the Noida B'Yehuda. That when you write the Shemus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it has to be Keseder. So when someone's going to write the Shem Havaya, the Yudke Vavke is going to have a little bit of a problem. You know why? Because if you're writing the Shem Havaya, you're going to write a Yud and a Hey. After you write the Hey, you write a Vav. Says the Mechaz Chinuch, how are you allowed to write a Vav? L'chayru, when you write a Vav, you're being moichik as Hashem. Because Yud Hey itself is one of the shemes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not the Shem Havaya, it's the Shem Ka. It's also one of the shemes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So when you write a Yud and then a Hey, the Vav is a mechika of the Shem Ka. So l'chayru, how are you allowed to write the Vav? So the teretz is, you're doing it to write a Hey. It's kilu, you're being moichek amanas lichtoiv. You're being mekalkal amanas lasakin. Zok de Mechaz Chinuch, number one, that's b'di'evet, l'chayra. And number two, it's not pashit, because we know Mesechtes Nedarim begins with the concept of a kinoi for a neder. Chazal made a takana that when a person makes a neder, he shouldn't say the word carbon, because we're afraid that he may say Lashem carbon, and then he may say Lashem, and after he says Lashem, he's going to die, and he'll never end up saying carbon. V'nimtza maske shem shemayim levatol. So for that reason, Chazal said, don't even think carbon, think koinam. You'll never say, connect the word Lashem and koinam. That's the premise of the beginning of Masechet Nedarim. But the point is, you see from here, Chazal were worried sometimes that if you're going to do something that's not okay, I die to the hachi for what's about to happen. We have to be concerned. Maybe it's never going to play out. Don't say Lashem carbon, because you may say Lashem and you may never have the schus to say the word carbon. So Zok de Mechaz Chinuch, L'chura, in that same vein, Yesh Leimar, don't go ahead and write Yud and then Hey and then afterwards a Vav, because you'd be Moichik. What are you going to tell me? Because you're going to write a Hey afterwards? But L'chura, maybe you're not going to end up writing the Hey. So just like you don't want you to say Lashem because you may not say carbon, you shouldn't be able to write the letter Vav because you may not end up writing that. So Zok de Mechaz Chinuch, the Eitzah would be, write a Chaloi Keseder. Write a Yud and a Hey. Then write the second Hey. And then you'll stick the Vav in between. But Zok de Mechaz Chinuch doesn't work. Because the Mechaz Chinuch said, because the Noid B'Yudah said that it has to be Keseder. And by the way, even if you want to tell me that the Noid B'Yudah really didn't say that, like Rabbi Kivah Eger said, and there's an El Yirah, oh, but the Shem Havaya for sure is supposed to be written in Keseder. So this is doch the Shem Havaya. So if it's the Shem Havaya, so the Mechaz Chinuch, you have to write it Keseder. I mean, you can't write it Shaloi Keseder. And whenever you write it Keseder, there's always going to be a Mechikas Hashem. You know what the Eitzah was? Ben Kamtzer. Ben Kamsa was the Eitzah, because if you could write all four Oisniyos at the same time, so it's going to come out, it's not going to be Shaloi Keseder, and you don't have this problem that you ever Moichik the Shem Hashem. That's why, says the Mechaz Chinuch, in Tov Lamed Zayin, Chazal wanted to know how to do this. It was Negeya the Shem Havaya. That's what it was Negeya. And the reason they wanted to know how to write the Shem Havaya, all Bevas Achas, is because they didn't want to have to run into this problem. The problem of being Moichik as Hashem, and you can't circumvent it by doing it Shaloi Keseder, because of the to be Yehuda, Reb Tiavai, or at the very least, the Zohar HaKadosh. So that's not an Eitzah. So if that's not an Eitzah, how are you going to do it? That's why they want to know Ben Kamtzer. He didn't want to teach it, and it's for that reason it goes down as V'shem Risham Yirkov. There's more to talk about this. Number one, you see from here that even though there's an inyan of Keseder, Mechaz Chinuch held, as long as it's not Shaloi Keseder, that's going to be okay. Right, Pasha, you can learn, certainly in the Zohar, that it has to be Keseder. This is not Keseder. It's not Yud, then Hey, then Vav, then Hey. But it's also not Shaloi Keseder. The writing of Bevas Achas is not Keseder. It's also not Shaloi Keseder. So that's a side point. But the bottom line is, that's the first Ara. The second Ara is, so the one of the themes of the Daf was the concept of Zeichet Tzadik Levracha, V'Shem Rishoyim Yirkov. So the Gemara said, what does Shem Rishoyim Yirkov mean? So the Gemara says, Yirkov means to go bad. That, and the idea is that we're not supposed to use the name of a Rasha. Rakfivus tala b'shmoysan deloy maskina b'shmayo. You shouldn't use their name. And then the Gemara asked the Kash, Masi Ravina, there was a story with a little child whose name was Doyeg. And this Doyeg's father died and was raised by his mother. And his mother loved Doyeg so much. And she had such a karas atoy for the fact that she had this little baby Doyeg that every single day she would weigh her child and he would grow. And whatever he had grown, she would take the equivalent and make a donation of gold to the Beis HaMikdash. And then when the Churban broke out, this is Bayis Rishon, and there was a terrible hunger in Yerushalayim, and this mother had nothing to eat, so she had no choice but to eat the flesh of her child, Doyeg. And it was on this woman and this baby that Yirmiyahu said, "Emtoichal nenoshim piryom, oyla leitipuchen." Regardless, says the Gemara, Masiv Ravina, Doyeg is the name of a Rasha. Doyeg ha'adoymi. So, Luchura, if there's an idea of loy maskinam bishmayu, rakfivus tala bishmoysan, so how do you explain this story? So the Gemara says, I don't hear the kasha. This family did something they shouldn't have done, and it's because of that, chazim ha'solikve. Take a look at what happened. You see, the story didn't have a good ending. And the truth is, they shouldn't have named their child Doyeg. And it was the fact that they named their child Doyeg that actually played a role in the way this story played out. The Chasam Sofer, in his Shailos Tshuvos, Evin Ezer, Chelik Beis, Simin Chaf Aleph and Chaf Beis, discusses Shemus HaGittin. So Shemus HaGittin is a huge topic in the Tshuvos. And the reason is because you have to get the name right, it has to be spelled right, and there were many names, especially Jewish, Yiddish names, that was a little unclear what the origin of it was, and there's tshuvas that were written by the Gedoyle on Tazra, the whole country is called Shemus HaGittin. So this was something that was discussed by the greatest Torah scholars of all time, handling nuances and names and spellings, but this is Torah, and this is something that a lot of time was invested in. So the Chasam Sofer wrote two tshuvas. It's Simen Chaf Aleph and Simen Chaf Beis, regarding a name, Zimmel. That was the name. And there was a whole question about the origin of the name Zimmel, and it was Negei Shemus HaGittin. So in Simen Chaf Aleph, the Chasam Sofer is writing a tshuva to a Yid whose name was Rav Shaul Landau, and he tells him about the origin of the name Zimmel. In Simen Chaf Beis, it seems Rav Shaul Landau had responded to the Chasam Sofer, and he told him that he thinks he found the origin of the name. And he was very happy, he was very excited. It was literally K'moitzu Shal Rav. He said, I found the origin to the name Zimmel. He said, it's a pasuk. It's in Divrei Hayomim Aleph. It's Perek Vav. The pasuk over there is discussing the family of Levi. And it says, Ben Eson, Ben Zima, Ben Shimi, Ben Yachas, Ben Gershaim, and Ben Levi. So Levi had a son, Gershom. Gershom Kasa Merari. Gershom had a son, Yachas. Yachas had a son, Shimi. And Shimi had a son, Zima. Said Rav Shaul Landau to the Chasam Sofer in the Tshuva, it's Pashut to him, that Zimmel comes from the word Zima. It was a Jewish name, Zima. And he says, that must be where it came from. So he said, I found it. We're trying to figure out what the origin of the name Zimmel is. And if you look, the Chasam Sofer said, maybe it has something to do with Naphtali. Maybe it has something to do with Shimon. He had a whole bunch of different suggestions. They were pushing, trying to figure out what this name is. So he told them, I found it. It's the name Zimmel. So the Chasam Sofer writes back to Rav Shaul Landau. He says, I hear what you're saying. I find it very strange. Sheyikra Adam Yisrael Shem Benoi Zima. That somebody would call his son Zima. That's like Umala Ha'aret Zima. And the Gemara says in Masechta Avodah Zarah Daf Yud Zayin, there's a whole shaila what the word Zima exactly means, what the literal word is. But it has connotations of znus and of bad things. And he says, that's what someone's going to name his child? He's going to name his child Zima? I hear what you're saying. Zima Zimbal sounds like a nickname for Zima. But he says, it's a very big chiddush to me that this would happen. Either way, he discusses it. He goes back and forth. And then he says a dover niffle. The punchline is famous. But again, this is just another example where you have to see the whole context to really appreciate the grace. Because the punchline I've heard 100 times, we all have. But the context, the richness of the context is Lo Yu'umen, Kedarki Bakoy Deshalach Sam Sofer. See, he says that, you know something? I'm thinking about it now.
And maybe there's something to it. He says, you know why? Because why do I think nobody would ever name their child Zimu? Because there's something to a name. A name is real. A name is very important. A name could play a role. It could dictate the mazel of a person. So you can't just frivolously name people whatever you want. There's a cheshbon to a name. He said, but who is Zima Zeta? Zima came from which David? He came from Levi, right? Zima came from Levi. Levi, I know, said the Chassam Sofer, wasn't sensitive to names. You know why? Because Levi had an ankle, his name was Korach. Vayikach Korach ben Yitzhar ben Kohas ben Levi. Korach is a name that appears earlier in the Torah. It's in the end of Parshas Vayishlach, where the Pasuk talks about all the Alufei Esav. And one of the Alufim of Esav was Aluf Korach. That means the name Korach already appeared. Aluf Korach. Korach? Why would Levi have given his ankle a name that has shaychus to Esav? What happened to the Shem Risham Yerkov? What happened to the Gemara Masechtes Yuma Daf Lamed Ches Hamed Beis, where the Gemara says Rakfivus Tala Bishmoison Deloy Maskina Bishmayu? So says the Chassam Sofer, I always felt, this is what he writes, he said, I always felt that Levi made a mistake that he named his Einikul Korach. And he says that just like the Gemara says in Yuma Lamed Ches Hamed Beis about that little baby whose name was Doyeg, who Nebuch ended up being eaten by his own mother. So what did the Gemara say? Look at what happened. Because it was a mother who named her child Doyeg, Doyego Adoimi, and violated this principle of Hashem Risham Yerkov. I think on Korach said the Chassam Sofer, you could say the same thing. Look at what happened to Korach. And the truth is that Levi and Kohas and Yitzhar, they shouldn't have named their son. But he says, one thing I do see is that Levi himself wasn't sensitive to this. So if he wasn't sensitive to this, so it doesn't bother me so much that maybe in Divrei Hayomim Aleph, Levi has an Einikul Zima. Meaning he's bothered. What happened to his name Zima? Where did this come? Levi? It's Levi Lashitasa. Levi, who wasn't so sensitive to names, unbelievable. The Einikul of Levi had a Messiah from the Zayda. He was not sensitive. Abba Lamaisen, at the end of the day, regarding Korach, he said, Chazim, my Chazi. He says, Lamaisen, maybe it comes Zima, Zimbal, Ulai. He says, to me, it's strange, but at the end of the day, it is a pasuk in Divrei Hayomim, and you have to be miyashiv the pasuk, and says the Chassam Sofer, Lanias Daiti, the way to be miyashiv it is that this is Levi Lashitasai. But the truth is that, you know, we could talk about names for a very long time. It's a fascinating topic. It's something that we've spoken about many times, but the aim based medrash b'loi chiddush, there's a medrash that's very much pertinent to today's daf. The medrash says, Rabbi Yitzchak Pasach, Zeichet Tzadik Levrocha, V'shem Rishom Nirkov. I'm Rabbi Yitzchak. Kol Misha Hu Masker Es Tzadik, V'einoy Mevorcha, Oyver Ba'aseh. If someone mentions the name of a Tzadik, and he doesn't give him a Bracha, he's Oyver Ba'aseh. My time, eh? Zeichet Tzadik Levrocha. It's like an Aseh. Zeichet Tzadik Levrocha. V'chom Mishu Masker Es Rosh, V'einoy Mekal Eloi. If someone mentions a Rosh, and he's not Mekal, Oyver Ba'aseh. My time, eh? V'shem Rishom Nirkov. I'm skipping a little bit. Says the Medrash, Kach Shamata Miyamecha. Have you ever heard in your life, Adam Kairashem Benoi, that someone will name his son Paroi, Sisra, Sancheriv, the Yikarish might be Yisrael, Sancheriv? You ever heard it, says the Medrash? Kach Shamata Miyamecha Bitmiya? Of course not. Ella. When you go to a bris, these are the names you hear. Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Ruvain, Shimon. Why? Because Zeichet Tzadik Levracha, V'shem Risham Yerkov. The Chidah, in the Sefer Shem HaGedoylem, in Mareches Aleph, makes a fascinating observation. He says that you have a Medrash, Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov. He says, isn't it interesting that you don't find one Tana in Shas whose name was Avram? There was one Tana in Shas whose name was Avram. There's an Amora, Avram Choyza, who comes up in the end of Masechtes Brachos, and even there, some people have the Gersa Avimi Choyza. It's not really Avram Choyza. He says, Yitzchak also, there's no Yitzchak in a Mishnah. Now, this is Rav Nachman by Yitzchak. You find Yitzchak's already in Brises and Yaakov's. But in a Mishnah, you for sure don't. But better, Moshe. Is there a Tano, even an Amor whose name was Moshe? Aaron, David, Shlomo. You don't find these names anywhere. So Lecher Tzapela, right? These are not names that you find anywhere. So again, there's a lot to talk about, and maybe we'll do a part two on this tomorrow. But I want to skip to the end of this rabbi. And that is that Rav Yudah Chassid, who, of course, wrote a very famous tzava. So at the end of his tzava, this is in Sif Nun Aleph, he says the following, right? So we all know bits and pieces of the tzava. There's some very notable lines in the tzava, but there's a lot that we don't know. Listen to this. lo yikare ish mizaroi es ben Yehuda v'lo Shmuel. A person should not name his child Yehuda, and he shouldn't name his child Shmuel. Shouldn't name Yehuda, and he shouldn't name his child Shmuel. Reb Ruvi Margolis wrote a commentary on the Sefer Chassidim. It's a classic. It's called Mekar Chesed. It's in the Moshed Rav Kook Sefer Chassidim's, the bottom. It's very detailed. Kedarkei Bakoidesh of Reb Ruvi Margolis. He's the Magia on the Sefer Chassidim. And he wrote Hagah on the Tzavah as well. So he brings from the Shailos Hachuv Hashem Aryeh, who told over the following story. That Maisen Shahoya Kachoya, the Marsha, was once sitting with a group of people. And somebody mentioned that it says in the Tzavah from Yehuda HaChassid, Lo Yikra Ish Mezari Es Beno Yehuda V'lo Yishmul. So Omer Hagoyin Maharsha, this is the Marsha of the back of the Gemara fame. He got up Raglov, Omar, and he said, Ani mi bnei bonov shel Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid. He says, Ich bin aneinuko from Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, v'zeh shmi Shmuel. The Marsha's name was Shmuel, v'shem Avi Yehuda. And my father's name was Yehuda. So he says, Chveis mish v'shtet in tzava. He said, I'm telling you that I'm bnei bonov shel Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid. And he said, my name is Shmuel, and my father's name is Yehuda. So clearly he said, this is not something that you have to worry about. So it's interesting, we're talking about the Chassam Sofer, Zecher Tzadok Livracha, and names. So, just interesting. The Chassam Sofer also had a son, Shmuel. The Chassam Sofer. Chassam Sofer's name was Avram Shmuel Ben Yochanan. So, obviously, this is not something that he was worried about. There's a lot of raid in the world of Minhage Chassam Sofer, Talmidei Chassam Sofer, the Einoklich from the Chassam Sofer, whether the Chassam Sofer was sensitive to Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid in general. So over the years, we've mentioned so many times the Noi Debi Yehuda, where the Noi Debi Yehuda spoke and he said that he'd push it to him that Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid didn't write his Tzava for Klal Yisrael. He said he wouldn't be allowed to. He said if he meant this for Klal Yisrael, asa to read it. That's what he said. Because it goes Kenegah the Gemara. There's so many things that are Kenegah Mefurish the Gemara. And he said, doesn't matter what your credentials are, you're not allowed to go Kenegah the Gemara. So he says, why did he write it? He wrote it for his Mishpacha. And he says, for his Mishpacha, that was something he was allowed to do. The Divrei Chaim and the Tshuva took what the Nei Yehuda wrote to be disrespectful to Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, and he said, Sharole Morey invokes that famous line, since the Eibusha should be Meichel the Nei Yehuda for talking the way he spoke about Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid. Truth is, if you look through the tshuva of the Nei Yehuda, to us anyway, it's not going to feel like he was speaking disrespect to Rabbi Yehuda. To the contrary, he said he wrote Baruch HaKodesh, and he said he wrote it for his Mishpacha. Doesn't sound like he was ever mazalzel on Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid. He just said he didn't mean it for Klal Yisrael because he wouldn't have been allowed to. That's basically what he said. But regardless, Vadvarim Atikin, the Inka Mekoy Melaharach, what the Noid Bihuda said, and what the Divrei Chaim said. So if you handle what the Noid Bihuda held, and what the Divrei Chaim held, of course it's interesting to know what the Chassam Sofer held. Rabban Shel Kol Bnei Agoyla, so much of our Messiah comes from Chassam Sofer. So the question is, what did the Chassam Sofer say? So I had always heard an anecdote that the Chassam Sofer wanted his Talmud Muvik, the Maram Shik, as an Eidim. Now, Chassam Sofer's name was Rav Moshe Sofer. The Maram Shik's name was Rav Moshe Shik. And he wanted the Maram Shik as an Eidim, and the Maram Shik, there's different versions of the story. I had heard that the Maram Shik didn't want the Shidduch. I mean, it's hard to believe that he didn't want to marry the Chassam Sofer's daughter. But whatever it was, maybe he was advised. Regardless, the Chassam Sofer wanted to take the Maram Shik as an Eidim. L'maisa, I have a sefer, it's called Zichron L'Moshe. So the sefer Zichron L'Moshe was printed on the 150th yard site of the Chassam Sofer. So this was in Tafshin Nun in 1990. That's when the sefer was printed. And the yid that wrote the sefer, he was malakid. He reached out to different Einikloch and Einikloch of Talmidim to try to bring anecdotes and things that people don't really know about the Chassam Sofer. One of the contributors to the Sefer Zichron L'Moshe was Dayan Weiss, the Gaivit of the Eid HaCharedes in Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Yitzchak Weiss. So he was one of the contributors, the Michas Yitzchak. So he brings a few contributions. So one of the things that he said, by the way, talking about names, this is parenthetical, but he said that he has a Kabbalah that Chassam Sofer was Nifter on Chaf Hei Tishrei. That when the Chassam Sofer woke up, Chafei Tishrei, they were very worried. They realized it was already at Klois Neshama. And the Chassam Sofer was masking. He said he wants to add a name. So they did a Goyro, like a Goyro Agura, to try to figure out what name to add. And they came out with the name Yitzchak. So this is Dayan Weiss talking. V'mhoyinu zoichin sheyavri rabbeinu. Had we had the schus that the Chassam Sofer would have gotten better, hoyinikru b'shem Yitzchak Moshe. Moshe ended up passing away, said never really happened. But regardless, he said that he had some Messiah, that the Chassam Sofer was going to add a name. He didn't want to add a name, Mamish, until the last day. Then he was already masking to, and the name that he was going to add was Yitzchak. It was going to be Yitzchak Moshe. But regardless, so he brings this story that I heard that the Chassam Sofer wanted to take Ramosha Shik as an Eidim, And Lameisa, he said, Rav Moshe Shik, for whatever reason, it didn't play out. But then he says that the truth is, the Chassam Sofer was married to Rav Kivega's daughter. But that was Zivik Sheni. The Zivik Rishon of the Chassam Sofer was to the daughter of a Yid whose name was Rav Moshe Yorowitz. So he said the Chassam Sofer's first Shver, his name was Moshe. His name was Rav Moshe Yorowitz. And then he brings something fascinating. Rav Moshe, so who was the Chassam Sofer's first Shver? I mean, we know so much about the Chassam Sofer's second Shver. But who was the Chassam Sofer's first Shver? Who was Rav Moshe Yorowitz? Here's the rest of the story. Rav Moshe Yorowitz is actually mentioned in a tshuva. This is worlds colliding. He's mentioned in a tshuva, in the Shilas of Tshuva's Tshuva Me'ahava. From Rabbi Loza Fleckless. This is a Chelik Aleph, Mamish World's Colliding. And this is Tshuva Peivav. There's a Shail who sent the Shaila to Rabbi Loza Fleckless. And this is how he addresses him. Moshe loy posik taime, verecha loy namar, tzadik katamar, doirish kemin chomer, chumri masnaisa, vechumri de medusha, de itme be medrasha, taimo u meshasha, kvoid ahuvi, harav, hagodol, hamuflik betoira, zokain, unasuponim, sifsoisav shoishanim, rav Moshe, rive the prostits, hamokam ye be ezra amen. And it's a very hard, intense tshuva. So who was this yid? So the Minchas Yitzchak said, this was none other than the Chassam Sofer's first Shver. That's who it was. Rav Moshe Yorowitz. But his name was Moshe. So it's clear that the Chassam Sofer didn't seem to be very worried. And it's interesting because the Chassam Sofer spoke about himself as being a Gavra Kaptano throughout all the tshuvas. We've mentioned it so many times with the tshuva to Rav Kiveger and Mesachta Smachis, etc., etc. We can't go all through this now. But the point is, when it came to the Tzavah, Rav Yehuda HaChassid, this is something that he wasn't so makbid on. So over Yontif, I was looking through, you know, some raid regarding the Tzavah, Rav Yehuda HaChassid, and I found one Marganisa Tava. We'll end with this. In the Sefer Shmir So this is in a classic sefer. Shmiras Haguf HaNefesh. It's in Chelik Beis, and it's Simin Kuf Samach Tes Sivkaton Chav Aleph Footnote Chavav. The third paragraph. I ain't shum. So he says, "Omidei Dabri by Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid." Maybe the most famous Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid is that you shouldn't do a shidduch where the mother and the shneir have the same name, and the father and the shver and the edim have the same name. So he says, "Umide Dabri by Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid." Ask him, "Masha Kosav Agoyim Rabbi Ephraim Zalman Margolis Mibrod." Baal Mechaber Sefer Shailas Hachuvas Beis Ephraim. So a mamish living today in the 18th, 19th century. Besoif Hakta Mosil Sefer Meiser Rekech. So Meiser Rekech is a work on the Rambam. It's a classic. It's a long work. And he wrote a Hakdama to the Meiser Rekech. So at the end of his Hakdama, he writes like this. Shal Mechaber Shal Sefer Anal. The Mechaber of the Meiser Rekech, Rabbeinu Eliezer. His name is Rabbeinu Eliezer. Hoya Benoi Shal Rab Yehuda Ben Kloinemis Mi Magensa. He was the son of Rabbi Yehuda ben Kloinemis, who's from Magensa. Rabbi Yehuda ben Kloinemis, mi Magensa, hayachaisnoi shel Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid. He was the aide of Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid. So it says the Baal Shmiras Haguf HaNefesh, I found this in Rabbi Ephraim Zalman Margolis in Hakdama to the Sefer Meiser Rekech. He said that Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid had an aide. His name was Rabbi Yehuda ben Kloinemis, mi Magensa, who had a son, who's Rabbeinu Eliezer, he's the Mechaber of the Meiser Rekech, this classic work. He says, "Mkeinim Dvarav." This is Rabbi Ephraim Zalman Margolis. If he's right, Harei Choisnoi Shal Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, Yeshva Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid himself had an Edom that was named Yehuda. How's that for a wrinkle to this whole shmooze? So Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid himself had an Edom whose name was Yehuda. Upelo ala achreinim shlo yeskin rudavazeh. He says, "Apelo to me." I've never seen anyone quote this. He said, "This is my mitzia that I found, that Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid himself had an Edom whose name was Yehuda."